chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. I'd like to read the first 12 verses. And again, he, Jesus, entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born or carried of four. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it in this fashion. We see here Jesus healing a paralytic, very well-known event in the life of Christ. We see that Matthew and Luke also record this healing of this paralytic, and we'll be looking at all three accounts. We see here in verse 1 that the miracle took place in Capernaum. It was after Jesus had taken a boat and crossed over into Capernaum. And Capernaum is in, notice Matthew's account in Matthew chapter 9 in verse 1. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. So Capernaum is referred to as Christ's own city, his own city. I believe there's several reasons for that. Number one, it's where he began his public ministry. Notice in Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, verse 13, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. And we see that he would, in verse 17, he would begin to preach repentance. And again, this is where he began his public ministry, in the city of Capernaum. It seems to me that throughout the scriptures, Capernaum seems to be his adopted home as an adult, and we know that he performed more miracles there than any other city. So it seems that Capernaum had the privilege of Christ's presence more than any other. Yet, at the same time, that being said, Christ's presence in Capernaum, all the miracles that he performed in Capernaum, all the times that he preached in Capernaum, it had very little effect upon the hearts of the people. Notice what Matthew says, or what Matthew records in Matthew chapter 11, verses 23 and 24. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted in heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. So there was a sense in which Capernaum was worse than Sodom. Now, they weren't practicing sodomy like they did in Sodom, but considering all the miracles that Christ performed there, consider all the times that Jesus was there, and yet it made very, very little difference upon the people's hearts. This made them a wicked people. Verse 24, but I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. So Jesus, Capernaum was his city. It was the place where he spent much of his time as an adult, much of his public ministry, many times preached there, many miracles were performed there, and yet very, very little results, spiritually speaking. Leading up to this miracle, we see that Christ has entered into Capernaum. News has spread throughout Capernaum. We see in verse 1, and it was noised that he was in the house. So the news quickly spread that Jesus had arrived into the city of Capernaum. As a result of the fast-spreading news, crowds began to gather at the particular house for a lot of different reasons. They gathered to see Jesus, but for different reasons. They gathered to hear Jesus, but again, for different reasons. In verse 2 of Mark chapter 2, we read, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch as there was no room to receive them. That is, there was no room in the house. They couldn't fit any more in the house. No, not so much as about the door. That is, couldn't fit any more on the porch, couldn't fit any more in the yard. And what did Jesus do? It says, and he preached unto them. And he preached unto them. Now, we are not told what he preached, but he preached unto them. And this multitude crowded to see Jesus until there was no more room. We want to consider, first of all, those who were present. Now, we know there was a great multitude, but consider those who were present that day at that house. No doubt there were many needs. Notice in Luke chapter 5, this would be Luke's account, Luke chapter 5, and verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees. Okay, so we know that in this multitude, there were Pharisees, that is, the self-righteous, the religionists of the day. There were also there, notice in verse 17, doctors of the law sitting by. These doctors of the law were so-called experts in interpreting God's law, in interpreting the book of Exodus, interpreting the laws of God. Matthew refers to these doctors. Notice in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 3, and behold, certain of the scribes, these would be the same as the doctors of the law, and Mark refers to them as scribes as well in Mark chapter 2 and verse 6. So part of this multitude is made up of the Pharisees, the doctors of the law or scribes. And whenever these individuals throughout the ministry of Christ, whenever these individuals gathered around Jesus, it was always to judge him. It was always to attempt to entrap him in his speech. They were always there for the wrong reasons. Now, people can come to the house of God for out of a lot of different reasons. And the reason does not have to be right for coming. That doesn't determine what the Lord is going to do. And we see on some occasions the Lord would deal with these Pharisees and scribes, though they always came for the wrong reason. So part of this multitude is made up of these Pharisees, scribes, doctors of the law. So we know they were there for all the wrong reasons. They weren't there to learn. They weren't there to receive from Christ. They were there to judge Christ. They were there to attempt to entrap him. Now, they, of course, weren't the only ones there. There were many, many others. Some, no doubt, were, as always, when a crowd gathered around Jesus, many came simply out of curiosity because they had heard many things about Jesus Christ, and they would come out of curiosity. They would come to satisfy themselves concerning what they heard. And no doubt some came perhaps because they loved the Lord. Some in that multitude maybe were truly saved, and they came because they had a love for Christ. And as always, when crowds gathered around Christ, some were there to have their physical needs or the physical needs of their loved ones met. So you have this mass of people. Jesus is in the house. Jesus preaches to them. This mass of people is there for a variety of reasons. And whenever you have a multitude of people, you have a great variety of needs. And no doubt, as you were to look into that multitude that gathered around that house that day, there were a variety. There were a variety of needs. Now, also present at that house that day was Jesus Christ. We see in Mark 2 and verse 1 again, Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and was noised that he, Jesus, was in the house. That is, a particular house on a particular street. Jesus was in a particular house. For this reason, the crowds gathered around that house. Whether the reason was a good reason or not, the reason they were all there was because Jesus was there. Now, they may have been there to entrap him. They may have been there for a lot of reasons, but the reason they were there was because Jesus was there. Now, this being so, that is, that Jesus was there, Luke records in Luke 5 and verse 17, the latter part of that verse says, "And the power of the Lord was present to heal them," which leads us to believe that many were there with infirmities. They had brought their loved ones who had infirmities. And Jesus was there. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power of the Lord. Now, that is a statement that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Jesus was there. The power of the Lord was there. Jesus was in that house, and as Lord, he possessed the power. He possessed the ability. He possessed the force. He possessed the strength. He possessed the skill. He possessed the authority to heal them. Whatever needs they had, Jesus had the ability to supply that need. He had the presence of the Lord. The power of the Lord was there to heal them. Now that word heal means to mend. So the power of the Lord was present to mend them. The power of the Lord was present to cure them. The power of the Lord was present to restore, to repair them and to restore them. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. That means the power of the Lord was present to deliver them. The power of the Lord was present to strengthen them, to relieve them, to comfort them. So there are many needs there. But that's not what's important. What's important is that the power of the Lord was present. And the reason the power of the Lord was present is because Jesus was present. And wherever he was, there was the power of the Lord. And that's still true today. Wherever Jesus is, the power of the Lord is present. The power of the Lord is present to heal. So Jesus was there. And Jesus was there in that house with the ability, with the skill, with the authority to mend whatever needed mending. He was there. Whatever needed to be cured, he was there. Whatever needed to be repaired or restored, whoever needed delivering or strength, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Whatever comfort was needed, the power of the Lord was there to provide that comfort. So Jesus was there. Jesus was there with power greater than every need that was present. And there were many needs, but the power of the Lord was greater than all the needs that were there. Now, did Jesus meet every need that was there that day? No. No, he didn't. But the power to meet every need was there. But Jesus did not choose to meet every single need that day. He did meet some, but he did not meet every single need that was there. Which we say that because just because everyone's needs are not met, that does not determine the power of the Lord. God has power to heal whether he heals or not. He has power to heal. He has power to restore. He does not restore everyone. He does not heal everyone. But he does restore some, and he does heal some, and he does deliver some. And the fact that he would deliver one is one that, again, one is not deserving of healing. The fact that he would deliver one, the fact that he would heal one, is an act of grace and an act of mercy. Now, notice, we want to look at a proper spirit toward the Lord's healing power. Again, we see this multitude has gathered. In Matthew chapter 9, Matthew and Luke both, in reference to this multitude that had gathered, they both draw our attention to something particular. Matthew says, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy. Of all that multitude, our attention is drawn to five individuals. Four men, or four individuals, carrying a paralytic on his bed. That is where our attention is drawn. And behold, Mark says in Mark 2 and verse 3, and they came unto him, that is Jesus, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was carried, or which was born or carried, of four. So we have four men carrying a paralytic. This man was lying on his bed. How far they had to carry him, we do not know. But they heard that Jesus was in the house. They took this paralytic and they made the journey, however long or however short it was. They made the journey to the house where Jesus was. In doing so, they came to that house, all five of them. They came to that house with a recognized need. Matthew, in referring to the paralytic, used the phrase sick of the palsy. Notice in Matthew 9, verse 2, he says twice in verse 2, a man sick of the palsy. In verse 6, he also refers to this man as the sick of the palsy. So three times, Matthew refers to this man as sick of the palsy. Mark, notice if we go back over to Mark chapter 2, he uses the phrase five times. He uses the phrase five times. So it's obvious that Matthew and Mark both paid close attention to this man who was lying on this bed. In Mark chapter 2 and verse 3, he uses that term sick of the palsy. In verse 4, he uses the term sick of the palsy. In verse 5, he mentions again sick of the palsy. And in verse 9, he mentions this man who was sick of the palsy. In verse 10, he mentions this man was sick of the palsy. I believe this man was sick of the palsy. Five times he mentions this fact that this man was sick of the palsy. Now, Luke, who was a physician, he used the phrase one time. Notice in Luke chapter 5, verse 24, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy. Now, he only uses the term one time, but Luke goes a little further, being a doctor. He goes a little further than the others. Just again, remember back to the lepers. They all referred to him as lepers, but Luke said he was full of leprosy. Luke went into a little more detail. And Luke does the same thing here. Notice in Luke chapter 5, verse 18. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken. A man which was taken, that is, overcome and seized with a palsy, with a paralysis. He not only noted that the man was paralyzed, but he noted that the man was completely overcome and seized. He was taken with this palsy. So the paralytic knew he had a need. He knew he was paralyzed. He knew he couldn't move his limbs. He knew he had a need. And he knew that Jesus was in the house. These four friends or four relatives, whoever they were, doesn't matter. These four individuals, as they carried this man, they knew that he had a need. And they all knew that Jesus was in the house and aware of their great need, fully aware of the paralytic's inability. The paralytic knew that he was unable. The four men who were carrying him knew that he was unable. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been carrying him. They said, walk. We're not going to carry you. You walk. You're able to walk. But no, they carried him because they knew he was unable. And knowing this and fully aware, not only did the four know that this man was unable, they also knew that they were unable to cure him. They couldn't fix him. They could not mend him. They could not restore him. They knew their own inability. The paralytic knew his own inability. So these individuals, when they heard that Jesus was in a certain house, here they come. And they come realizing and fully aware of their need. They are fully aware of their need. And those who are going to be most blessed are those who come into the presence of Jesus Christ, aware of their needs and fully aware of their inability to meet their needs. As long as you and I think that we can fix the problem, we will attempt to fix the problem. But the day we realize that I am unable to fix this, and we come unto Jesus Christ, that's when we're going to be healed. And this is what happened. So they came to that house, recognizing their need. They also came to that house with a desire. Now, I just imagine that the paralytic did not want to be paralyzed. I find it hard to believe that anyone would want to be paralyzed, that anyone would want to be a paralytic. So, believing that, I believe that this man had a desire to be set free from his paralysis. He knew he had a need. He knew that he was unable to meet that need. And he had a desire to be healed. No doubt these four individuals that carried this man went through the trouble, took the energy, took the effort to carry this man. No doubt they too had a desire that this man would be healed. These four, again, we don't know who they were, whether they were friends or relatives. We do know this, that they had a compassion for this man. They had a desire to see him healed. Otherwise, they wouldn't have taken the effort that they did. And they all come to this house because they've heard that Jesus is there. But again, they come realizing that they have a need. They come realizing that we are totally unable to meet our need. And they came with a desire to have their need met. And that is a lesson. That is a lesson on how we are to come into the Lord's presence. We are to come realizing that we are a needy people. We are to come realizing our own inability. And we are to come with a desire, with a true desire to be set free of whatever it is that paralyzes us today. And there are many. There are many spiritual paralytics today. There are many people who are paralyzed spiritually for innumerable reasons. They are paralyzed spiritually. And spiritual paralysis is far, 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 far worse than physical paralysis. And you will lose more being spiritually paralyzed than you will being physically paralyzed. Being spiritually paralyzed will cost you far more than being physically paralyzed. This man was physically paralyzed. But Jesus was there. That means the power of the Lord was present to heal. And many today are spiritually paralyzed. Jesus is here. which means the power of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, the power of the Lord is present to heal. That is, to meet everyone's needs. Will everyone's needs be met? No. But he has the power. He has the ability to meet every single need. Whose needs he meets, that's God's business. That's the Lord's business. I know this, on this particular day, this man walked home. He wasn't carried home, he walked home. And I'm sure that there were others who walked home in the same condition they came in. But not this man. He walked home entirely different than the way he got there. And that ought to always be so when we come into the presence of the Lord. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for